Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
I want to welcome all of you for taking time out of what I know are really, really busy schedules to get on the call. We know how precious your time is and how challenging parenting can be, and how challenging it can be just making time together on these kind of calls. So thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us for this teleseminar. What we really want to do is to support your work in parenting, and we hope to give you some ideas today that you can use at home with your family. So hi, there's a number of other callers coming on the call, so just a big welcome to everyone who's tuning in right now. While we just give people a few more, you know, a little bit of time to get on the call, I just want to start, I don't really want to start before everyone's here, so I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about hand in hand while everyone is joining in. And so after that, we'll begin our teleseminar on the topic of fears, not just for the little ones. And as I said before, my name is Anna Cole, and my co-presenter here is Shelley Macy. You want to say hi, Shelley?
Hi, this is Shelley in Bellingham, Washington.
So I'll tell you a little bit about Hand in Hand for those of you who may be new to the organization. It's a nonprofit organization based in California. It has instructors all around the world. So I'm one of those instructors here in England, and Shelley's an instructor there in America. It was founded about 30 years ago by Patty Whitfler, who has wonderful insights about the emotional needs of children based on many years of real-life experience. Hand in Hand brings parents information, tools, and lots of support for the vital work of parenting. We know that the work of nurturing children cannot be easily done in isolation. Hand in Hand has a variety of offerings designed to support you. Free articles on the website, free teleseminars like this one, a free online discussion group, and free access to an inspiring blog with many parents' success stories based on this approach. Besides the free resources, Hand in Hand offers podcasts, classes, and support groups, both in person and online, intensive trainings for parents and professionals, and consultations for one-on-one support. And you can find all of these resources through the Hand in Hand website. And at the end of the call, Shelley will say a little bit more about some of those resources. So just to tell you a little bit about the approach before we get started specifically talking about fears tonight, Hand in Hand's approach in all of these offerings is called Parenting by Connection. And there are four main ideas behind this approach. Number one, we parents need and deserve support for the emotional challenge of parenting. We can build that support and have much more success meeting both our own needs and our children's needs. So we can build that support. And secondly, our children are born to feel connected with us. This sense of connection is what they need in order to learn, to build friendship, and to build resilience and confidence as they grow. Thirdly, when children don't feel connected, their behavior goes off track and they signal to us for help. And fourthly, the fourth major principle of parenting by connection is when we foster laughter and play without tickling, when we set limits without harshness and support children to have good, hearty cries and tantrums, it helps our children feel more fully connected to us and helps relieve difficult behaviors from them. So Hand in Hand helps parents strengthen and rebuild the parent-child connection so that we can feel successful as we love our children, and so our children can thrive on the love we have for them. So what we'd like to do now, I put everyone on lecture mode so that we can so that we can just make sure we don't get too much kind of audio feedback on the line. But what we want to do is leave 10 minutes at the end for your questions. So if something really burning came up during the talk, you could raise your hand by pressing star 2. But we'd love to present some thoughts and ideas and then take questions at the end. So I just wanted to start by, Shelley and I would love to just introduce ourselves. Shelley, would you like to say, would you like to introduce yourself?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, good. This is new to me. All right. So my name's Shelley Macy. I'm the mother of two wonderful adult children. Forrest is now 36 and has a five-year-old daughter. And my daughter Brett is 34, and she has a four-and-a-half-year-old son and a 14-month-old son. I've been in the field of early childhood education since I was a very young adult, starting out as a Montessori teacher and then teaching home daycare and child care centers and what we call a parent cooperative preschool, up until 1989, at which time I joined the faculty at Northwest Indian College, which is a tribal college in the northwest corner of the United States. I've been teaching early childhood and parenting education here for the last 26 years, almost 27, and have used the hand-in-hand work, ideas, philosophy, publishings, that whole time, and my students have loved this work. Most recently, I was able to do some research as part of a grant we had with our small child care center here on campus, where all of the staff took the starter class in parenting by connection and then have used it, the insights and the practices, and the research is about how that has affected their teaching and their enjoyment of teaching and their effectiveness with children's emotions, and it was very, very positive. So it's really fun to be able to share this now today with you.
Wow. I'm so lucky to have you there, Shelley. Thank you. It's really lovely to hear about the depth and the breadth of your experience. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're so lucky to have you here. I'll introduce myself. My name's Anna Cole. I live in England. In a town called Lewes, which is about an hour out of London. I have two children. My daughter, Juno, is 11 years old. Max, my son, is 9. I found out about hand-in-hand parenting through a mum that I met in a playground in Australia shortly after my son was born. And I went on to begin a listening partnership with this mum. And we'll hear more about listening partnerships later on in the call. And So I began that listening partnership from around about the time my son was 1 year old. And then I began to find out more and more about the whole hand-in-hand approach. I was so impressed with how the listening tools worked in my own family. So I'd try a tool, I'd give it a go, I'd talk about it with my listening partner, and I'd always be so impressed because I would see the effects, within myself and within my kids. So I wanted to share these tools with other parents around me. And I think there was a slightly selfish motivation. I really wanted to build a community. I'd moved back to England and I didn't know anyone else who was doing hand-in-hand at that time in England. So I kind of wanted to get some people along to join me in this kind of approach. After a few years of integrating the tools in my own family, I took the instructor certification course with hand-in-hand and I qualified about 3 years ago as an instructor, a certified instructor with Hand in Hand. I run classes and teach workshops as a parenting by connection teacher. And I also work, I teach at university, I teach in the area of post-colonial studies. So I work there with sort of 20-year-old students. And it may not seem like a really close link, but a lot of those students have really benefited from, I introduce them to listening partnerships and it really helps them with stress levels in a highly competitive sort of academic environment. So I'm kind of gently bringing in tools wherever I can. There were many reasons that the approach spoke to me so clearly And but if I had to single out one thing, at the moment, the thing that really comes to mind is when I started to do listening partnerships, I really started to notice my own ability to move sort of old stuff that had sat quite heavily on me, and my then ability to kind of set goals for myself and to move myself in the direction that I wanted to head in my own life. That was so palpable for me. So, okay. So, yeah, we're going to present today on the issue of fears. How do we deal with our children's fears? And how do we deal with our own fears as adults? How do we use these amazing tools from the hand-in-hand parenting approach to do that? So we only have 1 hour together now. There's so much we'd like to share with you. But be assured that all the tools we discuss here are explained in clear detail through Patty's beautiful writing. Patty Whitfler, who's the founder of the organization, has written a series of booklets. We're very, very happy, excited to tell you that she's in the process of writing a book that will be available next year where all this information will be in one place. And as I said, Shelley will give you details at the end of the call about the kinds of resources that you can connect with through the Hand in Hand website. Okay, so Shelley is going to begin by introducing two of the Hand in Hand listening tools for working with our children's fears. And then I'll go on to introduce two tools for working with our own parents' fears. Thank you so much, Shelley.
Thank you, Hannah. All right. So, start with, I just want to acknowledge how precious all of our children are to us and how much being their parents affects our lives and how dearly, dearly we want their lives to be the best they can possibly be. Children are such eager learners and so ready to love and be loved. But things that are confusing or startling or scary, even if they aren't inherently dangerous, can really frighten our children. It could be just a loud sound, or mommy going to use the toilet, any small thing can feel frightening to a little one because they lack the experience to know that everything is okay from the start. And then when bigger things happen, maybe a dog bite, or living in the war zone, or a parent being incarcerated, any number of things, children can become very frightened and feel quite alone or endangered or scared, all of which lead to a feeling of disconnection. So even sometimes when we're right next to them, the way they feel, they can feel frightened and feel like they're really quite alone. At Hand in Hand, we have learned clearly that children must feel connected in order to relax and learn and be their sunny, delightful selves. And when they do not feel a sense of connection, it becomes like an emotional emergency that they have to deal with in order before anything else can really make sense and they can function well. Now, how they signal to us that they feel disconnected and fearful could look like a child feeling very edgy, just always sort of on edge, or hard to please. You know, you give them Cheerios for breakfast and they want Rice Krispies, and you get out the Rice Krispies and they want Cheerios. Being unable to settle down, sort of not able to get really interested in anything in the preschool or do their homework, or just not able to settle. They might be impatient. They might be signaling this disconnection and fear by being impatient or easily angered, not trusting, slow to experiment, slow to try something new. Maybe they're aggressive, biting or hitting, or they're afraid of new situations, afraid of unfamiliar people, and so on. Now, every child's limbic system, that part of their brain where emotions and a sense of safety are, their limbic system has a natural and efficient way of shedding fears completely. If they have the chance to do so, they'll tremble, they'll cry loudly without tears, they'll sweat they cry with tears too, but when they're crying without tears, you can have a, you can't, it's an indication that there's fear that's coming off, and with tears is more grief. They'll sweat, they'll have active kidneys, meaning they'll need to pee a lot, or they may laugh and laugh and laugh. If allowed to fully feel these feelings for as long as they can, and as long as you can stay and listen, the fears actually dissolve. They're gone to the extent that they can release them. And their behavior will be resolved. They'll be more able to focus. They'll be relaxed around others. They'll try things more easily. And I want to tell you a couple of stories about my own experience with helping my children resolve fears. And they may be very different from your own stories, but it may give you an idea of what I'm talking about. So my own son, at the age of 2, had a very frightening experience of getting wood preservative in his eyes. We'd gotten home from the grocery store. I was carrying the groceries in. And he was coming in, and I saw this can of wood preservatives and thought, gee, I don't know if that lid's on right. And, oh, my gosh, I heard him calling me, and I thought, oh, my goodness, he's always calling me. And I went out the door, and I saw this green smear on his face, and I went, oh, no. And I rushed and grabbed him up, called my husband, and we rushed him into the bathroom, and we knew that we needed to wash his eyes out. So I held Forrest in the tub in my arms, and my husband filled a pitcher with water and poured it over his face. And, of course, at first he got it in his nose, but then it went on to his eyes only and kept pouring and pouring and pouring. I knew that I had to act confident that everything was going to be all right. So I held Forrest and I said, it's going to be all right, baby. Can you open your eyes and look at me? And bless his heart, he trusted us so much. He opened his eyes while there's this water pouring over his face and washed and washed and washed his eyes out. After about 10 minutes, we stopped to see how he was doing, and he blinked his eyes, and then he started to cry because it hurt some more. So we said, okay, baby, we got to put more on your eye, put more water on your eyes, and poured and poured and poured for about another 5 minutes. After 15 minutes, it didn't sting anymore. So I jumped out of the tub, and we rushed to the hospital, to the ER. The doctor saw him immediately and looked in his eyes, and he said, you did just right. Of course, I felt like bursting into tears when he said that. I was so relieved. And his eyes are fine. They're just fine. So we went home, and Forrest fell asleep in the car seat as we went home, and all was well. Something changed, though, for Forrest, because from that day forward, he hated getting his hair washed, and he hated hearing the bath water. Well, whenever the bath water ran, he would rush in to make sure nothing was in the tub. And I had a pile of plastic bath toys that we'd put in the tub, and if there was anything in the tub, he said, he would cry and say, get it out, and I would get it out because I'd think, oh, I'm scaring him. And then his baby sister, well, I was very pregnant, his baby sister was born. It was a couple months later of getting his hair washed very seldom and of always making sure there were no toys in the tub that I thought, wait a minute, he's not outgrowing this. This may have started when we did that, you know, when he got that stuff in his eyes. So one day when his baby sister was sleeping, taking a nap, I decided that I was going to try what I'd been learning about listening to children's fears. And I said, Forrest, let's take a bath. So I turned on the water, and of course he came in and watched, and then I put a toy in the tub, and he became frantic like he always did, and I felt like, oh my gosh, am I being cruel? But I had to think, no, there's nothing harming him right now. There's nothing inherently scary about bath water running on a plastic toy. So I put in toys, and he cried, and I stayed right with him, and I had my eyes looking right at his eyes and said, everything's okay, honey. And he was just sort of vibrating and crying. And then when I put a pitcher in, which was a totally different size and shape than the one his dad had used to wash his eyes out with, he really got frantic. And then it was like he summoned every bit of courage in his little two-year-old body, two and a half by now, and climbed into the tub and threw the pitcher out. And then he said, I can't remember what he was saying, get him out or something, but he just picked up all the toys and put them out. And I said, good job, Forrest. And listened to him cry and cry and holler and toss. And then I just calmly put the toys back in. And it's such a, you know, that I'm all the time I'm thinking, okay, am I doing the right thing? Is this what he needs? But it looked to me like he was getting braver and braver and more in charge. And the toys were not hurting anybody or anything. And so this continued, I don't know, must have been at least 15 or 20 minutes. Well, then I heard his baby sister starting to wake up. So I turned off the water and I said, well, sweetie, we have to stop now. And lifted him, and he could have cried much longer, I'm sure. Much longer. But that was all the time that we had. So I picked him up, dried him off, and we went and got his baby sister, and he was a pretty happy kid the rest of the day. Well, that night, when I went to run the bath water for him, we were in the bathroom, and he just kept talking to me. He was a very verbal little 2.5-year-old, and we were just talking. And I put the toys in, and he looked over, and he just kept getting ready to get in the tub, got in the tub, took a bath, washed his hair without incident, and he never again was afraid of the water. In fact, my son was like a little dolphin in the water when we went to the lake or swimming in a swimming pool. He really was this complete change. And of course, I was thrilled and very relieved and very happy. So what about us as parents? I mean, like I said, I was really afraid that I was scaring him. And I got afraid of his indication that he needed to heal by both hating his head to be washed and getting so upset when I would turn on the bath water and put in the toys. And what happened, well, no one certainly listened to me about my fears as a child. They would have if they'd known, I know, but we do what was done. So I tried to soothe him. I would try to distract him. I would try to reason with him that there's nothing going wrong. I'd pat him on the back. Sometimes I'd find myself arguing. Or sometimes as parents, we scold our children for their fears or tell them there's no reason to be afraid. Everything's fine. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. In that kind of frightened tone. Unknowingly, we try to stop the healing process because we feel that if we stop the release of feelings, we're eliminating the fear. In fact, however, when the release of feelings stops, the unshed fears stay inside, hoping for another chance to release, and again, behavior can go off track. Like all parents, I wanted my children to be confident and courageous. I wanted them to grow up knowing that they had a voice and they could speak out about things that were unfair and not have to be fearful. It really helped me to have listening partnerships where I could release my fears and share my stories and gain my courage to use this approach. And then after using it, to talk about how frightened I'd been or the feelings. And Anna will talk a little more about listening partnerships. She's already alluded to that. But of course, we want our children to be confident. That was a big deal. That one will remain in my memory forever. There are many, many little things that I've done also with my own children and other children around releasing fears. One, I want to say something about laughter because it's so different. It looks so different from screaming, crying, and shaking. But it's really this lovely way that we humans release embarrassments and fears. And my grandson, Tommy, another thing I do with children is, like, my daughter loved to climb on the high places and jump off. And she would grow gradually higher, higher. And she was very confident in it. But she got to a really tall place once, and she looked at me, and I just looked at her and grinned and went, ooh, scary, scary, and shook a little and giggled, and she just giggled. And then I would do that again, and her face just, relaxed, and then I could see her assess the situation and decide that maybe she'd just come down one step lower and try it, and then go up and try the higher place. So that little giggle just created this ability to actually assess the situation better and not go, okay, I'm going to do it no matter what. My grandson Tommy had a very difficult birth. He was born unable to breathe on his own, and he was in the neonatal intensive care for Children's in Seattle, Washington for a week. But anyway, he was kind of scared. There were people around him doing the best they could to keep him alive, but no one's really assigned to look at the baby and tell him what's going on, and it's kind of scary. So he devises ways. Whenever he starts to laugh, I just try to do what it is that made him laugh over and over so he can laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I see that he just feels much more relaxed and confident and able to focus after that. And one of his favorite things is we have a couple of very soft balls that are about the size of a tennis ball, but they're much softer, that we toss around in my house, and we discovered that there's nothing that they hit that they've ever hurt. And they, you know, my house it's pretty childproof down his level, but not up higher. So he loves to get these balls out and throw them. And then we run and get them, and then we throw them. We each have our own. His is white. Mine has a tiger shape, or it's a tiger stripe. And laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And, you know, I just decide that I'm going to do it as long as he wants to, because I love, for one thing, I love the laughter. And the other, it does get me moving, which is a good thing, because I spend a lot of time sitting at a desk. And he is just so cooperative and able to focus afterwards. So those are a couple of stories from my own experience of noticing that the release of feelings helps children become unafraid, and to hold them in just postpones the time when they can get their old confidence back and be the kind of courageous people we want. And it also helped me be the kind of parent I wanted to be. Now, Anna is going to share some about, for us as parents and dealing with our fears.
Shelley, thank you so much. It's such a privilege to hear about the work you've done over these times with your own children and then your grandchildren. And yeah, it's really inspiring. So thank you. Thank you so much. And I would like to talk about, I'd like to introduce two adult-to-adult listening tools that we can use to help lift fear from our own thoughts and our feelings. So I'm going to talk in a bit more detail about listening partnerships. And the second listening tool that I'd like to introduce is the tool of support groups, of parent support groups. And both of these tools, adult-to-adult listening tools, have been developed and practiced and modeled by Hand in Hand over many years now. So there's, again, lots of great information if you were keen to set up your own support group, and I'll say a bit more about that as I go along. But before I talk specifically about the tools, I wanted to just introduce ideas about why is it so important as parents that we work on our own fears. And what I wanted to do was to talk about some of the findings that that psychologist Dr. Larry Cohen, who's a long-term colleague and friend of Paddy Whitfler, who's the founder of Hand in Hand, some experiments that he did as quite a young man that have an influence on his thinking and influence the approach, the Hand in Hand approach around adult fears. So some of you may know his recent book called The Opposite of Worry, and Larry describes how in the introduction he talks about sort of the science of worry in a way, and he talks about how animals will play dead when they're too scared to fight or flight in response to fearful situations. So I'm guessing that many of you will have heard of that idea of fight or flight, but sometimes the idea of freeze as a response to fear is less sort of well known. So what Larry recounts is that he did an experiment When he was just in high school, his mum was, I think she was the director of a kindergarten, and she would have little chicks hatch for the kids. And on the weekends, they'd come home, and he'd heard about this concept of immobilization in chickens, which is when they get scared, they freeze. And so he wanted to see this for himself, and he gently held a little chicken down, a little chick, and he stared up close into the chick's eyes, kind of imagining like he was an eagle hawk or something. And sure enough, the chick froze, and then sort of within a couple of minutes, it popped up and it was walking around again. And for Larry, this really demonstrated this process of fear and recovery. And then he thought, what happens if I freeze two chicks? So he gently held them down, and when he froze two chicks at the same time, they stayed down for a whole lot longer. They stayed down for five times as long. They just stayed absolutely paralyzed. And then finally they popped up, shook themselves off, and walked around the box, you know, that they were in. And so what he concluded was that the first chicken looks to the second chicken to signal that all is well. So you may be thinking, why are we talking about chickens? Well, years later, when Larry was working as a psychologist with children and families, he started to wonder why some parents had a really hard job reassuring their anxious children, and he remembered the second chicken. Children who are highly anxious often ignore reassurance, and you might know this from your own experience, or it can even make them more upset. You know, it can make them even more frantic. Sometimes that's because they have anxious parents. When a child looks around and sees a scared second chicken, it confirms their view that the world is a dangerous place. So Larry, along with Hand in Hand Parenting, started to encourage parents of anxious children to stop their endless attempts at verbal reassurance. And if you ask a frightened child to look into your eyes to see whether you're afraid, this works a whole lot better than dismissing or reassuring them with, you know, there's no need to be afraid. But that's great. But what do you do as a parent? What do we do? What do I do when I have got my own fears stuck inside me? What do I do when I am that immobilized second chicken, so to speak? How do I find a way? How do we find ways to work on our fears? Some of which got stuck inside us from a really early age when we didn't have people around us who could listen to those fears. Maybe we had an anxious second chicken for a parent ourselves, because these incredible ideas from Hand in Hand are really around 30 years in circulation. And so most of us probably had parents who, as Shelley was saying, would kind of like try and distract you or diminish your fear or even scold you for your fears. So listening partnerships can really help us reduce the grip of old fears on us. They can help us release fears. They're a really powerful way to work on fears, old and new. And I'll just say briefly, because there is really great information on the website about this, and I'm guessing that some of you are already familiar with Hand in Hand. Some of you will be practicing this already. You will already have listening partnerships. But just to give the bare bones, it's essentially an exchange between two adults. So a listening partnership is an exchange between two adults who've agreed to listen to one another at a mutually convenient and prearranged time. You can set up an LP with a neighbor or someone you meet in class. Hand-in-hand parenting classes are a really good way to meet potential LPs. If it's difficult to set one up in person, you can do it over the phone or Skype. I grew up in Australia, but I live here in the UK now, here in England, and I've had really successful long-term listening partnerships over Skype back to Australia, for example. I also have in-person LPs with a neighbour here in England. So, you know, you can mix it up as you need to and want to. And you use a timer to keep the exchange equal. When you listen, you don't offer your unsolicited advice. You don't interrupt. You don't interpret. You just really bring yourself. You bring your warmth. You bring your respect. You bring that understanding that every parent is doing their absolute best, wants the absolute best for their child. And you let the person that you're listening to follow their own flow. You don't guide them because of your own curiosity. So if someone talks about their daughter's school and how they're having a difficult time. You don't ask, what school is that? Because you're also thinking about, you know, which school to send your child. So you just let them follow their own train of thought. So that's the kind of basics of a listening partnership. And I want to tell you a story about a listening partnership that really helped me work on some fear that I was holding, some quite heavy fear that I was experiencing last year. But before I tell that story, I just wanted to say that working on fear is quite hard because it really tucks itself away behind other feelings. It's really scary to really go for fear. So often you might find yourself feeling angry or a bit sort of speedy when there's fear around. So you might find yourself feeling really urgent. So because fear can provoke this fight response in us, we sometimes find ourselves in fight mode suddenly, perhaps in response to something that doesn't warrant really that level of feeling. And we're most likely being re-stimulated, as we say in hand, from an old fear response that got stuck inside when we were younger. Perhaps we were not able then to openly express our fight response, our anger. So if you find yourself getting angry and wanting to blame or even hurt your kids or another adult who's close by to you, or if you find yourself talking flat out about something over and over but without any feeling, you're likely to be in flight, fight or flight mode. And then again, if you find yourself just kind of like parking yourself on idle and not really feeling much at all, then you could really be in a freeze mode. So here are some ideas that you could use. If you feel frozen by it, if you feel stuck in the anger, or if you're racing through the story, retelling it without feeling anything, one of the really best ways that I've experienced and that many people who've done listening partnerships for a while have figured out is to really let your body move, let your body have its natural fear response. So what you can literally do is tremble. You can just give yourself permission to tremble, shake your hands out a bit, shake your feet out a bit. It can be really helpful if you're sitting down to stand up and let yourself shake, because this is like a fear response that you've kind of got frozen around. And if you just let it out, you start to kind of let the fear out with it. A great way to work, if you're stuck maybe in that angry feeling, and you could ask your listening partner, if they're in person, to put their hands up and you press. You can press, you know, let yourself press on their hands, feel your own strength. Kind of feel the feeling back down through your body, down through your feet, feel your own strength. It can be really helpful when you kind of get stuck in the anger. It can help you kind of land back in your body. And another really, really great thing to work on fear is, and Shelley has mentioned this, a huge antidote to fear is laughter. And so just to go back a second, if you were working on fear in a Skype listening partnership or a telephone listening partnership, you can just put that phone or on speaker and you could like push really hard against a wall, find something that won't move, something that can really feel, you know, you can push and feel your own strength against it, and you can get a kind of similar feeling in your body. But let's go back to this idea of laughter, because it's such a really essential one. Some of the most helpful listening partnerships I've ever had around fear are when I start to tremble. I find myself laughing, perhaps laughing at myself because I'm standing here in a room trembling. And it can really help you break out of the frightened chicken mode. And I experienced this in a listening partnership around a big shock and a frightening event that I faced last year. So last summer, three children from my extended family were killed as innocent bystanders in a war. And our family were very shocked and devastated. And along with the terrible loss and the grief that it kicked up a lot of fear in me around losing my own children. And I was frozen in the fear, and it affected my ability to be present with my kids. I had a number of listening partnerships at the time where I released grief, but one listening partnership really stands out in my mind. My wonderful listening partner, who had long experience with the process of working on fear, gently got me laughing through my listening time. So I was explaining that I was having a visit with my parents. I'd gone to stay with them, and really I'd gone with my kids, and I'd kind of gone really, I suppose, seeking comfort. You know, I'd gone to at this time in our lives to kind of come together. But what actually happened was that we kind of all went into acting brave around each other. I don't know if this is kind of a particularly English thing, but we were kind of like, you know, let's not talk about it and let's just be really brave together. And somehow my listening partner helped me see the ridiculousness of a situation where we were together trying to protect one another, and we were all making it worse for each other because none of us could actually say what was going on for us. And somehow I began to laugh at this situation, this kind of ridiculous situation between my parents and I. And I remember saying at the time, between laughter, with my belly absolutely aching from trying to catch my breath, why am I laughing? You know, why am I laughing? But my LP knew what a powerful antidote laughter is to fears. And I just kept on laughing. We kept on laughing together. And by the end of that listening partnership, having laughed and laughed and laughed until I ached, I was able to simply walk into the kitchen where my mum was washing up and could say, you know, quite quietly and simply what a huge impact the terrible news had had on me and how I could see it had had a big impact on her too. And we could just kind of lean back against the kitchen counters. We could break out of our isolation and the horror of it. And for that moment, we just could acknowledge it together and grieve openly. So there's a fantastic, comprehensive explanation, more detail about listening partnerships that you can find in a booklet written by the founder of Hand in Hand, Patty Whitfler, where she brings like 25 years of her experience with this process into this lovely booklet. So you can find that there if you want to explore this further, if it's not something that you're yet familiar with. So I just want to move on now just to finish this section on adult-to-adult fears, working on our own fears, with a discussion about support groups. Again, I won't go into too much detail here. You can find information about them on the website. You might see them described as a parent resource group or a parent study group or a parent support group. They all work in really similar ways, and that is to bring a group of parents together to share listening time. And there's other really great things that you can do in support groups. And I was lucky enough to be at the Hand in Hand Parenting Retreat, and I got to share adult-to-adult special time within the kind of context of coming back to a support group and getting a chance to talk about that afterwards. So adult-to-adult special time, you don't have to be in a support group to do this. You can absolutely just find another adult who is happy to kind of glow at you. You put the timer on. It's special time, which you might have heard of for adults with children. It's you offer that to another adult. And when it's your partner's turn, you just glow at them in turn. But in my case, I did it in the context of a support group. So after I had the adult-to-adult special time, I could come back in and get listening time around what had kind of occurred for me. And I wanted to tell you what I did in my adult-to-adult special time. What I did was I tried something that I used to do as a kid that I really loved to do, which was handstands. I used to like throw myself into them, my legs up above, and it was just easy and fun, and I used to enjoy that kind of feeling. So I decided I would try this, and I tried and I tried, and I just could not get my legs above my head, and oh my gosh, my arms were shaky. I felt this kind of weakness. I felt annoyed with myself. Oh my gosh, I sweated and I got more and more kind of frantic. I got to get my legs up, you know, and I tried it against a wall. I kind of had a bit more result there, but there's not a happy ending in terms of, oh, suddenly I could do a handstand. Nope, but there was a huge amount of sweating. There was a huge amount of frustration. And afterwards, when I went back, I could share this in this support group, in a listening partnership situation. Suddenly I could connect to this real roar of the helplessness that I felt around this shocking news that I discussed, that I mentioned just before. I could feel my no. I was just roaring from the pit of my belly, you know, no, this doesn't get to happen, and I will do whatever I can in my world so that this doesn't play out. This, you know, we don't kill children in war zones. We don't, you know, this isn't what we will allow. And kind of this really big roar came through. So I, soon after that, very profound experience for me, which was based on all this shaking and all this sweating and all this trembling in trying to do handstands in my adult-to-adult special time. A colleague and friend here in England got in touch and said, let's do an introductory workshop, you know, about hand-in-hand for some parents who would really love to hear that in person. And we went and we did a workshop. And we did just all the lovely stuff. We did listening partnerships. We did some adult-to-adult special time. And somehow, by the end of that, I felt so hopeful, really, for the world. I felt for us parents, for the small, loving, transformative circles that we... that's my timer. I put a timer on so I don't go on for too long. And actually, just to the end, I wanted to say that having a chance to be witnessed, you know, falling over and over and trying out my handstand in adult-to-adult special time had really moved a big chunk of hopelessness. It moved a big piece of my ability to deal with the shock and the fright of this news, and it helped me move from flight and from fight into peaceful action towards making the world a more loving and peaceful place for children and for parents. So really, thank you. Yeah, thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hearing your perspective and your knowledge and your stories.
Thank you, Shelley. Yeah, thank you so much. We have 10 minutes for questions, and then we will we'll just close the line to finish off the call, and Shelley will talk about some of the resources that are available. And we'll say our goodbyes at 8 p.m. my time, but in America that will be 12 midday.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to open up the line, and we'd really love to hear from you. Any thoughts or questions? We're right here with you. Hi everybody, you're on interactive mode, which means you can just. If you have a question, yes, I'd love to hear you. And if you're feeling scared to ask the question, just stand up and shake. Ask it anyway.
Okay. I have gotten a lot better, but one of the areas where I feel that I transmit my anxiety to my children is around, one of you was talking about letting your child, or not letting, but your child like to climb high when she was little. And I find myself so often sort of keeping them safe, you know, whether it's in a parking lot or, I don't know, a tub or climbing. And I am aware of it not being helpful, and yet I feel like I do too much reassurance. And sometimes I feel like I'm literally biting my lip to not say, don't do that, that's not safe. And yet I feel like they're totally aware that I'm feeling anxious, even if I'm not saying it. Do you have any sort of tips for in the moment? I mean, obviously we need to keep our children safe, but I feel like I overdo it.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for bringing that in. Shelley, would you have a response immediately? I do have something I could offer, but is there something, Shelley, you'd like to come in with?
Sure. I would just say that thank you for keeping the children safe. And the tools Anna was talking about releasing our own fears, when you feel like you're being irrational, in the moment, if you can lighten it up, when I said to my daughter, woohoo, scary,
yeah.
Eye contact, and I got to smile and say scary and shake my body, part of that was me being scared and saying, I can't sit here and watch this, but I don't want to scare her. And then the other piece of it is taking that to your listening partnership or, you know, standing on a block that's only a foot above the ground or you know, a box and shaking about how scary it is for you. Because there's a reason you're scared. It's not the child, particularly, it's something else. So getting to release that will be a remarkably helpful. Hannah?
I think in the moment stuff, because I grew up very much with an anxious second chicken for a parent. My dad was a very frightened person, and so I feel like I promised myself when I had kids that I wouldn't put my fears onto them around that sort of physical stuff. And along with really working on that in my listening partnerships, which has made me feel so brave when I really love seeing them do quite physically, you know, challenging things. And one of the things that I use just as a little device for myself, when I feel my blood pressure going up and they're climbing to or something, I will say to them, because I kind of feel like I have to say, do you feel safe? Are you feeling safe up there, Max? And he will say, I feel safe up here, you know. And if he says, I'm not sure about this branch, you know, there's a connection and a communication that we can have. So I think that's just a little thing that has really been helpful for me. Are you feeling safe up there? Like giving them back giving them back the choice to check in with themselves in that moment. And I found it really effective. Along with really working on what makes me scared in my own listening partnerships. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that helpful?
Very much so, yes.
Great. Great. Thank you.
So this is Lisa from Bellevue, Washington.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. And I have a listening partner, but I'd like more, and I find it very difficult to find them on the West Coast. Who also where we click, where we have enough in common where it's comfortable to talk to that person. Do you have any suggestions on finding LPs?
Yeah, what a great question. Shelley, again, is that something that you would like to respond to?
Go ahead, Em.
Yeah. One thing that you can do, Lisa, is actually I was going to make
it's hard to hear you, sorry.
I'm going to work out where you are. You're in Washington. Are you still there, Lisa?
I am, yes.
Yeah. So, I don't want to mute myself. There we go. I'm just going to mute out the other line so that we're not getting that interference. But a really one thing you can do, I'm not sure if you've tried this, Lisa, so tell me if you did already try it, but you can actually go onto the Hand in Hand website. And you can, there's a place on the website that's called Looking for Community Near You. I might have got the name not quite right. I'm just checking my notes.
I did find my LP originally on the website. It's just, I don't know, I found it shockingly very sparse, people on the West Coast. Like, they're in Australia and England and California. And I'm just looking for more Washington people.
I'm sure there are other people out there, and maybe they're even going to hear you as you speak now. So have you put your name into there's on the website, there's something called Finding Parenting by Connection Parent in Your Area. Have you tried that?
Not for a while. When I got my LP, it was working. It's still working out, but I would like another one. I just went with that, and I haven't been back.
Yeah, don't give up, because you can leave a comment there, you can leave your location, you can leave the kinds of connections that you'd like to build. And I did look at it just last night, and it's still really current. People are sort of putting stuff on there quite regularly. I'm trying to think, did you try also? Go on, Shelley, yeah?
Well, there are various resources that Hand in Hand offers, and I'm wondering if you've taken one of the self-guided classes or the starter class?
I took the AEU, the six-week class work.
Great.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And there aren't a lot of instructors up here in Washington State. I've been teaching mainly through my work at the college. I'm going to be starting a class here in Bellingham. next Wednesday, that'll run 6 weeks. It's a starter class. So we're hoping to build more resources. But I think trying to find a listening partnership even across the country or the world, I think is a really good idea. To the more people that you have as co-listeners, listening partners, the better.
And I want to really I just want to sort of tell you how great you did to reach out and to get on the website and to find your first listening partner, and just to really be aware that you're planting such an important seed in your neighborhood. Like every time you kind of get yourself some freshly scrubbed attention, as Patty calls it. I love that expression. Every time you've got some freshly scrubbed attention for your children or for, you know, another adult, people feel that. And you are doing something, you know, you're not alone. You're not alone. And I'm really so glad that you put that call out there on this. This is like an international Sally seminar. You might find people, if you go back onto the website and put your name and your area and what you're looking for, maybe that will come through now for you. But I really, really support you and appreciate you for reaching out. I'll unmute the other. I just wanted to add one thing is, I don't know if your kids are school age yet. Are your kids school age?
She'll be 6 next month in kindergarten.
Yeah, I found, and it's not, you know, you can feel your way through this, but I found that sort of hanging around in the playground, you start to get a kind of feel for parents who might be able to listen, you know, in a non-judgmental way, parents who are willing to admit that it's really hard sometimes, you know. And I made a listening partnership with a mum just really from playground interactions, and because we don't kind of see each other all that often except for the playground, there is that confidentiality, there is that, it's kind of a nice contained space. So we do, that's a possibility, just to mosey up to a parent and see if they would like to share some time. Don't be afraid to try, because you could really make a difference to their life and to yours. Okay, I'm going to open up. Oh, thank you, Lisa. Thanks for your question. Going to open up the lines again. So sorry if there's a bit of feedback. Oh, we've only got a couple more minutes. So if you've got a quick question. Sounds like if there's anything really pressing, just throw it in now. But if not, we'll go just to complete the call. Shelley's just going to say a little bit about it. So I'll get the audio back in a good state. And Shelley, I'd love to hear that.
All right. So I'm just so glad you're all here. Appreciate the opportunity to share. Hand in Hand offers a number of resources, including stories of parents sharing their actual experiences, which is really awesome. On the website, handinhandparenting.org, there are many free resources that I wish every parent could access, and it's pretty easy if you got internet connection. So there are articles on any number of issues and situations that come up with children. And, you know, I've been following this for the last 20-some years, and so started out with a few articles, and now there are tons of them. Everything from helping your child sleep and thumb sucking and hard things at school and all kinds of stuff. There are podcasts. There's a free Yahoo discussion group. There's a blog. There's a telephone seminar, another telephone seminar coming up called Helping Children Sleep that looks really, really good. And there's even a little video of part of that, Patty talking, and just listening to that is a joy. Then there are some fee-based, many other fee-based resources as well. We offer one-on-one consultations with experienced instructors. We have self-guided classes with topics ranging from helping children with aggression to sibling rivalry, self-guided, which means you'll be watching videos and reading booklets on your own, and then it comes with optional consultation time. Very, very useful. We also offer the instructor-led 6-week-long starter classes. They used to be called Building Emotional Understanding. We now call them Parenting by Connection starter classes. It's the same content, but it cuts down on confusion in some ways of what we're teaching. They're a wonderful introduction to Parenting by Connection, and really it's the best way to learn about the approach because it's in the supportive environment of an instructor and a few other parents. I will be starting a weekly Wednesday daytime class here in Whatcom County, and starting next Wednesday, 9 to 11 a.m. for 6 weeks. Then there are online starter classes, which you can access online. Anna will be starting one Wednesday, October 21st, till November 10th, starting at 12 noon UK time. And that goes for 6 Wednesdays as well. Hand in Hand also offers a 10-week-long parent intensive, and the next intensive class will start January 25th. It includes this online starter class, plus the video short courses, personal mentoring, building listening partnerships, and so on. And lastly, I'll mention Patty's new book, Parenting by Connection for Everyone, which you can pre-order for April delivery. I'm really excited about this book. So we warmly encourage and invite you to engage with us in any of the ways that work for you. Parenting is about our children, but really we have to remember parenting is about us. About parents getting the support we need to do our work the ways we always wanted it to be done. And thank you so much for being part of our day today.
Yeah. Oh, so we'll sign off and thanks, Shelley. Thank you. It's been so wonderful to do this call together.
Thank you. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you everyone for taking time out of your evenings in England or your mornings in America or the other places that you are based. Thank you for being on this call and have a great day or a great night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'll open the line if you want to say bye-bye. You don't have to, but I'll just open it up. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for being on the call. Bye-bye.